Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Keeping It Real with Chris Norris. I'm excited today to kind of kick off a series of episodes I wanted to do talking with local business owners and entrepreneurs as we kind of are crawling our way out of the coronavirus pandemic. Still a very serious issue in our country and right here in our community of Erie, Pennsylvania. But I wanted to talk to people over the next coming weeks and months about their experience as business owners, creatives, through the pandemic, how they dealt with it, how they're adjusting their business, and how, even on a personal level, how their lives have been impacted by COVID. And kicking off our episode today with CEO and founder of Presque Isle Printing Services, I'm with Alice DeGeorge. Alice, thanks for your time today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Hello, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit. I want to make sure people know, those that might be listening to this podcast outside of the Erie community, because you're very well known and well liked in the Erie community. But tell us a little bit about Presque Isle Printing Services, how long you've been in business, how you cater to your clients. Let us know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So again, my name is Alice DeGeorge. I'm the CEO and founder of Presque Isle Printing Services. We started in December of 2008, amongst another great time in America where the housing market was exploding. So, you know, we're kind of used to this pandemic situation, I guess. This is round two. We focus on small business and local nonprofit printing, design, graphic design, on-brand marketing, and social media ads. So we're really focused on that small business if they're, just starting out or even, you know, have been in business and kind of need some help. You know, we have graphic designers in-house that we can sit down with and really help them, you know, brand their product, brand, you know, get them looking great in print and online, pretty much.
Wow, wonderful. Yeah, I'm assuming you've kind of expanded your services over the years. You've been in business now for 12 or 13 years. You've seen marketing evolve, you've seen print and design evolve. Talk a little bit about like that evolution of Presque Isle Printing Services.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, definitely have seen in the last 6 months a huge change, forcibly by all means. But originally we were really focused when we first started, of course, we were doing everything. So after about 4 to 5 years, we kind of pared it down to a lot of graphic design and printing aspect. So, you know, we're very much an event-based business. So a lot of wedding invitations, a lot of nonprofit events. So we'll do save the dates, newsletters type of thing, but we can still do office things. So we can do business cards, letterhead, brochures, rack cards, any type of marketing material for an expo or just to have in your office. But, you know, we've definitely changed a lot of that because when the COVID hit, all events stopped. And it happened right when we were just getting into our wedding season. So stag and drag tickets, wedding, you know, obviously wedding invitations, save the dates, those type of things. So, you know, that was a big hit to our sales in the summer. And that's really our jam. And that kind of, you know, protects our nest for the winter time when nothing's really going on.
Sure.
So you know, and I don't know if you want to jump into that right off the bat, but, you know, when this all started happening, you know, and as most businesses, we were not given a 24-hour notice. It was like, hey, 8 o'clock, you're done. And at the time, you know, we had, you know, it was what, in March. So we were just gearing up. A lot of people were buying, you know, tickets and printing stuff for future events in June and July. I mean, I always say we know what's going on in this town before anybody because we're printing stuff. So, but that was a big, big scare. I mean, first of all, not knowing what was going to happen and having to tell my staff to stay home. And we literally closed our doors and by no fault of ours, you know, it wasn't like we ran out of money and it was just, this is what's happening. And we had jobs that were in process, big jobs. And we also had, which is really weird, a COVID scare, just automatically. One of the girls that works for me had bought a car at New Motors. And that's actually where the first case was. So the day before the shutdown, I had come home and I had heard from another business owner that the shutdown was happening that following day. When I got home, I told my husband, I was like, hey, by the way, I just heard this is going to happen. He's like, well, did you hear the first cases at New Motors? And I said, are you kidding me?
No.
And he's like, what? And I was like, this girl that works for us just bought a car from there. I was in the car because it was making a weird noise. She's like, will you take a ride with me and see if this is something I need to take back? And so I was in the car. So that it was a Thursday, 7 p.m. I had to send out a message to my employees saying, look, first of all, the shutdown's happening. Second of all, you know, this girl bought a car at the place that, and they hadn't made that public yet, but we had found out from a mechanic friend of ours. You know, because all mechanics talk, all printers talk, everybody talks. If you're a bad customer, they know about you. But anyway, but so it wasn't really out in the public yet. So I had to tell the employees to, you know, just with the guidelines that we had at that moment, stay home for 14 days. You know, if you, I mean, she had bought in the car a week prior to that. So we were kind of in that 14-day, halfway through the 14. But I was like, look, I don't know what's happening. But, you know, printing at that point was not an essential business. So we were one of those that had to be closed.
Sure.
So I went in that Friday after, you know, that Thursday, I went in Friday and just was like, what do I do? Like, what do you do? Because these jobs needed to be done. First of all, they had to be finished. But second of all, I was crossing my fingers they wouldn't cancel. Because it was like a couple $5,000 jobs, big ticket orders for a lot of, you know, things for in June and July. And thankfully they picked them up, but I had to figure that out too, you know. And so it took, I'm going to say about 2 weeks just to kind of get over the shock and awe of it. Because again, events were done, you know, and they were getting canceled on a daily basis. Trying to keep the shop up during that period of time that my employees couldn't come in yet. Because even for myself, I'm like, oh gosh, what happens with me having breast cancer last year? My immune system, I was kind of nervous about that. So you pair that on there, it's like layers of cake. And so, you know, and just under getting the emails every day was overwhelming of, you know, what sign do I need to put up on the door today? And how are we going to move forward after this? So once that 2 week period went through, and we kind of were like, okay, everybody, you know, we staggered the employees coming in. So somebody work in the morning, somebody work in the afternoon, alternating days, you know, but just all the stuff. And there's four of us. So it's me and three employees. And so being so overwhelmed with everything is just as important to do, but you need to have kind of a list of what you need to get done.
Sure.
So that was, and it still is that way. You know, every time we changed colors, it was like, okay, new sign on the wall, new sign on the door. We'd have to send, you know, update our Facebook, update our website, update our LinkedIn, update our Twitter, all of those things. So it's just exhausting. I mean, yeah. The word I would say about COVID for most people is it's just exhausting because it's constant. We are creatures of habit. We like things, you know, put my pants on the same way, yep. You know, shower the whole nine yards, where when you come into work, you just have no idea.
Unpredictable, right?
Right. And scary at that. And so, but, you know, again, we didn't just sit. We had to keep moving. You know, I always say I have three mouths to feed. I have three full-time employees. So it's not just me, but it's them and their livelihood. So we really just, I mean, we did so many things to adhere to, you know, the regulations. As a print shop, you know, people want to come in and talk to you. So we, at the time, you know, we were, I think printing after about a couple weeks, they were deemed essential. And what happened was, is you think about food packaging, labels have to be made. Labels are a print item. So that kind of got us under the, I mean, not us in particular, but if one printer is doing it, you have to open the doors sure. to everybody. So thanks to all the people out there that are printers that print food labeling, because you helped us on the road as well.
Right.
So, but, you know, we implemented online payments. So no exchanging of money type of thing, or people could call and we'd take a credit card over the phone. We implemented a drop box outside of our office. So there was no contact of people coming in and picking up. Because at the time, we were closed. We closed our doors to the public coming in for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we still wanted orders. We still needed to have sales coming in. As small as they were, we really needed those to keep the lights on. So it was just really clunky. But people, I think, because everybody was going through it, it wasn't just us. So everybody was really patient, mm-hmm. I think, with all the changes. And we're like, okay, that's fine. How are you doing it? Or how can I pick it up? How can I order? So we did Zoom meetings if people had new projects. But in all honesty, like, you know, print is one of those things that's not on people's mind
right.
when they're at home. Or their wedding's been canceled. You know, we do postponement invitations, but the the sales just dropped. So, and if, for somebody like me that just, you know, we found out that we were more reactive business. So we would react. People come in, they would order, we would print. We've had to become proactive. So now we're looking for where our sales are coming from and kind of expanding our reach of customers because, you know, for our weddings are done for right now, you know. And so we're kind of like, well, what's going to happen at the beginning of the year? We just don't know. And so we're looking for, I mean, I guess I say we're fishing new ponds because our pond kind of dried up right there and we don't know when the rain's going to come for that again. And so we have been searching for or advertising to or marketing to non-event type situations, residual people. So people that are going to use their business cards all the time or their letterhead or, you know, rack cards or thank you cards or whatever it may be that they are going to be using on a regular basis so that they are coming back, you know, for more printing type of thing versus a one-off situation.
Sure. So you were forced, like a lot of other business owners, to kind of pivot and think about new ways to generate sales, new ways to reach new customers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure as, you know, you'd been in business for many years, you had your faithful customers. This is Erie, Pennsylvania. It's a small town. So word of mouth marketing is still very important. So you had probably a pool of customers that sent a person who heard about you from a person who heard about you kind of thing.
Right.
And now it's like, well, they're not coming anymore because they can't have an event or their niece and nephew aren't having a wedding. And so now you're out there fishing, like you said, in some new ponds. Talk about, I guess, some of the different things you tried in order to attract new people. Like you said your jam was event-based print. What were some new ways that you positioned Prescott Printing Services as something beyond printing? What were some things you did and offered? I think of an example. I remember you were offering to create customized Zoom backgrounds because that was the reality we were living in. Everybody had to have these Zoom meetings. You didn't want them to see your messy house behind you.
Right.
So people were like, well, that's actually kind of an interesting idea. Yeah. Can you create some Zoom backgrounds for me? Because this is my quote unquote office now. I want a professional backdrop with my logo branded. I saw that you shared that and I thought, well, that's an interesting way to pivot the services that you offer that has nothing to do with printing.
Right.
Were there any other instances or stories like that where you said, we're going to just throw our, like you said, throw our bait into the pond and see if we have people that need our help?
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of, you know, I think I remember reading about a pizza shop that, you know, when the food situation stopped and they said, well, we have these ovens, what can we do with them? And so they shifted their, you know, they have tools that they shifted into a different version of using them. So I kind of was, you know, and that was a big thing. Again, we were a very reactive business. Someone would come in, they need to order something, and then the process starts. Versus now we really had to think of where our customers are, first of all. You know, I mean, traditional advertising through the radio, Erie Reader, newspaper, the TV, things of that. Well, if you're not driving to work every day, maybe you're not listening to the radio as much, you know, maybe you're more on social media. So we really retooled our whole advertising look to be more business focused versus, you know, the event type situation. So, you know, are you having a nonprofit event? You need flyers and invites and business cards? Not so much anymore. But are you, you know, are you needing new business cards? Because now you have to do a different, you have to get new business cards because of your new home address might be different or your email might be different or things of that nature. So, and then we really looked at what we had tool-wise. Well, graphic design, people still were doing events, but they were virtual. But how do you advertise those? So we really pushed the graphic design element of we're here, we can design it. Even if it's not being printed, we can make you the file formats you may need, the JPEGs versus the PDFs for your website, for your Facebook, your LinkedIn, and things like that. So, and then seeing what were being used. So the Zoom background was as a perfect fun thing because I was doing that and I was searching the web for fun backgrounds and I was like, why wouldn't we just make them?
Yeah.
You know, and brand myself while we're doing it. So not only is it a fun background, but it has your logo, might have your name on there. And that's something that, again, we can use our graphic designers to do that. It's a tool that we have that if they're not doing the printing aspect of the design, we can do the digital design part. And then we saw a lot of people wanting to, you know, for their social media. So again, they're not physically going and doing sales, but maybe they need to have their Facebook, ads for their Facebook, ads for their LinkedIn, you know, those type of things. So all of that kind of was tools that we had that were kind of sitting idle while we were figuring it out, and was like, well, why can't we just advertise that? So we really changed and we really beefed up our own social media as well.
Sure.
Because
I noticed,
you know, again, thanks. and learning all that too is, yeah, is what works, what doesn't work, what helping people get more engaged.
Yeah.
We started doing some YouTube videos, helpful hints from your local printer. You can
saw
check that
too.
Out.
Yeah, I love it.
So it really, and again, exhausting.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
So exhausting because you feel like everything, like I said before, is just as important as the next thing, but you have to come up with the concept. Then you have to design the concept. Then you have to post the concept and boost the concept. And so it's not just... Yeah, and we're relying on ourselves too to come up with all these ideas.
Yep.
I said, you know, I get so tired, brain drain,
yes,
they call it, or decision fatigue. So, you know, there's during that time that I would come home and my husband, God love him, he would say, well, you know, what can I cook you for dinner? And I was like, whatever you put in front of me, I will eat.
Yeah.
Because I just make the decision because I'm worn out. So a lot of that, you know, I've really relied on my wonderful staff. They're younger than I am, and they're, you know, not that everybody's going out and about, but they go to different places and they see different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to them, you know, we have sales meetings in the morning and we kind of go over the day and then anything new, but I'll say to them, hey, what do you see when you go out? Like, what are restaurants using? And, you know, because they're not using their typical menus anymore, there's not the table tents anymore. So we advertise disposable menus. We advertise the safety stickers. So because a lot of the restaurants are utilizing third party for their delivery system, Grubhub, Uber Eats. But they want to make sure that food is just the way it was when they left and no one's opening or messing with it.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
So safety stickers, the big drink situation, the slushies that everybody are having.
Oh, yes.
So we made safety stickers for the opening of that. So, you know, it's an alcoholic beverage. So, again, the bar wants to make sure you're leaving with it and there's certain regulations. So, you know, we kind of just saw what was the heartbeat of everybody else that was doing and then shifted our business to match that, to provide those things for those people.
Wow. And that's fascinating. And that's why I want to have these conversations with people, because I've been both impressed and in some regards disappointed in some businesses' lack of effort to, mm-hmm, to pivot, but mm-hmm, very impressive some of the ideas that you guys came up with to continue to serve your customers. What I'm just curious, what was the most popular, I would say, pivot of your services that you received the best, like, oh my gosh, yes, like out of all those things you kind of tried, which mm-hmm, I think is great. I think everybody was sort of trying things during COVID.
Right.
What became something that was very popular and maybe something that you'll continue to offer now moving forward?
I think pushing more of the digital design aspect.
Okay.
Because that was kind of just a wrap up. I guess I call it like a line service. So when someone would typically order, you know, an invite or a postcard, you know, we would offer design services. So because some people want to do it themselves, you know, mm-hmm, and then send us the artwork, which is totally fine. But some people are like, I don't want to sit in front of the computer for 4 hours for a postcard. So we offer that versus now it's something that we automatically will talk to them about. So, you know, again, people are doing virtual activities or events, and we would say, would you like a JPEG for Facebook? Would you like a PDF for your website or things like that? So that's more incorporating that or prompting the customer for that. And again, it's something we've already been doing, but it was a sidebar situation. And so now we're seeing the a big push for that, because a lot of people are overwhelmed with kids that's, you know, homeschooling, or they have their office at school. So the last thing they want to do is sit in front of the computer for another hour and be creative, because
right,
they're probably just exhausting.
Sure.
Product wise, a lot of the to-go menus have turned into regular disposable menus now. So
mm-hmm,
businesses are not having that physicality of a menu where mm-hmm, now they make a placemat. So a lot of times that's kind of cool. And we're seeing a lot of that. But you know, it's more. We're still learning because, again, we're going to be shifting more into who knows what. And so, for right now, the digital design is a hot thing. We started social media packages now, so we just launched that. So we're still getting used to that and offering it to people. But we see that that's going to be something that's going to carry on for quite some time. Social media is not going away.
Right.
Advertising that way is not going to go away. It's only going to get bigger and better. And so we're really excited about us, you know, providing that as a service and then actually getting moving on it and doing it because it's fun. You know, it's fun, sure, to be creative for a customer. Plus, we get to learn about that business. I said that's the cool thing about the printing ad industry is we get to know about everybody's business and how it runs and how it works. And so for me, I love learning new things and I love, just like you, I love talking to different people and seeing what their superhero powers are, what they're, you know, what they love to do and how they got to that. And I think that just broadens your network. And what's cool about us is by knowing so many different businesses, when someone comes in or calls us or asks us, because we get calls, who do you recommend for XYZ? And it's nice to have that filing system of other businesses that we know we've worked with and we can feel comfortable about recommending.
Sure.
So, you know, that's the big nutshell about keeping it local is it's not just about the goods and services, but it's about building your network of people that you trust to be able to refer back and forth. So,
sure.
And I know I've done that with you with some, yeah, of our business owners that are looking for website stuff or our social media management type of thing.
Yep.
So it's nice to have all those aces in your back pocket of people that you trust.
Certainly.
And that you know when you hand them off that they're going to treat your customer as if you would too.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest takeaways for me through COVID is seeing the community really come together to support one another. You know, I knew that you had a big role in the Erie Takeout Facebook group. You, mm-hmm, know, you had done a lot of promotion there and getting people to support local takeout options.
We did that bingo. That was,
yeah,
fun.
The bingo was fun. Yeah, and I loved seeing all that stuff. And I think it was a season of a lot of us, especially people that are trying to, you know, own their own business, asking, okay, I know I need to make money too, but like, how can I just help people? Because there are people that are worse off, like,
oh, sure,
the restaurant owners and the people that physically rely on their brick and mortar to sustain their life. And I found myself asking a lot, like, okay, luckily the work I do and the work that you now are kind of moving into as well is mostly digital, and mm-hmm, I shouldn't really lose too many opportunities, but there are people that when their building shut down, they have no way of really sustaining, you know, a lifestyle.
Oh, sure. And even the nonprofits,
sure,
really, because we did a print project with Link by Pink. Love them. God, you know, mm-hmm, Norma Zimmer over there, those ladies are wonderful. And they were very helpful when I was going through my treatments. And the first thing that when this COVID thing happened and I was coming off of all my stuff is I thought, oh, my gosh, how hard is it going to be for cancer patients, you know, with going and getting their treatments every week and then their immune system being wiped clean like that. So we came up with some banners and some yard signs that say, you know, we are Erie Strong and partial proceeds were going to Link by Pink. And that's just something because you're absolutely right. It's not just us going and suffering. Like, yeah, it really sucked for us. But the people that rely on, you know, the nonprofits, all their events were wiped clean. Where are their funding coming from? So, and there are friends of ours. You know, we know them. We see them. Chris over at the brewery, you know, he's been a client of ours since the very beginning. And just the pain that we felt for them going through and really they've had so many regulations on them that it's just like, I feel like they're like that Rocky movie. He just keeps getting pounded and pounded and they're just, you know, they're going to come out of it eventually. But so there's always somebody that can have it worse than you, but being able to turn that around and saying, okay, yes, I do need to keep sales coming in, but my friends are suffering. How can I use what I have, my skills, to help them in whatever sort of way? So yeah, when we did I came up with the, you know, the bingo game and, you know, I had no idea what I was doing and it was such a chaos event, but it ended up just focusing on the local businesses and, mm-hmm, and making it a game instead of just saying, well, you know, I'm supporting you, but making it a game and each one of those businesses gave us a $20 gift certificate. So it was really a fun thing to do,
yep,
but it was just a knee-jerk reaction of how can I help because that's what my business is. So when the COVID happened, when the shutdown happened, I was like, well, I'm in business to help people. How can I keep helping them? So I think that was part of the brain strain too, was worrying about my customers and how they were going through this and how we can still continue to help them as best as we can while, you know, keeping our boat afloat as well.
Sure. Yeah. That balance in helping others, but also making sure you're in a good place because, yeah, your business really had to shift a ton during this. And I can remember, you know, speaking to the food, the bingo game is like on a Friday night, like just scrolling through that Facebook group for the Erie takeout. And, you know, my wife and I would just sit there and be like, whoa, that looks delicious. Who's this? And, you know, sometimes it would be the brewery and Chris Sirianni.
Oh, yeah. He's great at that.
Yeah. The food pictures caught my eye. And I thought, like, this is a great example, albeit on a small scale, of social media, local small business people coming together and saying, let's use social media as a tool to help one another, to support one another. And I would ask you, how has social media, just because it's kind of my jam, how has social media, you said you've really learned a lot about social media because you've had to use it as a tool to promote your business and even to do things like you did for the takeout bingo. How has social media really been a useful tool for you? And maybe what are some ways that you think it will continue to as you move forward? Because maybe for a lot of people, social media, when they had their brick and mortar, was just a place like, I just keep it updated. I want people, when they find my website, to go to my Facebook and make sure I haven't posted something within the last week. But now for some, like, maybe that is where people actually hear about you. That's the first step as opposed to the second or third. How has that changed for you? And someone that lives kind of in the marketing space, how do you think it's also changed for everybody?
Sure. Yeah. And you're right on the money with, it was kind of just a tool in the toolbox. You know, it was, we had the radio advertising, we would have our, you know, newspaper advertising and TV. And, but it really became the number one because we could change everything really quickly. And it's dynamic, right? So it's ever changing. People are always looking. They're wanting to have the updates. The people that follow you, you post something, they can see it. So when the shutdown happened, and probably since it has happened, it was the quickest way to get the newest information out. And so when we had to close our doors, you know, we had to come up with our own regulations and I don't want to say excuses, but the definitions of why we were doing this. And then when we reopened, we had to get that information out to let our customers know how we were doing business. And so social media at that time, and still is, I think, is now almost the number one way of getting the immediate reaction, the immediate information out to your clientele, and not just through Facebook, but through Facebook, through Instagram, through your LinkedIn page, through your website, because what we know and have learned that our demographic is so wide that we might have 25-year-olds that are looking, again, maybe to start their wedding stuff, hopefully, or a 70-year-old person that is wanting something. So everybody has different venues that they get their information from. And so the social media, and we do it where it's across the board. So if we're posting something, it's going to be the same across all those platforms.
Sure.
And we really have, you know, as your follow-up of how we're going to continue, that's not going to stop. So we are really focusing on, like, we come up with a 30-day calendar, and my office manager does the Instagram, and then one of my designers is in charge of all the Facebook and the ads that we put on our website and things of that nature. So, and then they correlate it so that they know who's doing what and make sure that they're all symbiotic with each other.
Sure.
But that's probably not going to stop. Yeah. And, you know, and the good thing about it is it's very cost effective as well. So boosting is a lot less expensive than a lot of other modes of advertising. And you're on your phone. I mean, unfortunately, that's where we're all at, versus you might not be listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. You might be a Spotify person and never listen to local radio.
And so, you're able to target very specifically too. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just target people within your niche, or you can just target a certain age demographic who follows, you know, you on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're learning a lot about hashtagging, you know, particular hashtags that we want to be a part of. You know, I would love, you know, we always put Prescott, you know, hashtag Prescott Printing, but that's just ours.
Your branded one, sure.
Right. Versus small business printing. That's going to be in the global arena. So, or digital printing or whatever. But we've done a lot of hunting and searching a different types of industries and what those hashtag mean, and then incorporating that into what we're doing. So again, a lot of learning. I'm 47 years old and I've been in business, you know, it'll be 12 years in December. And it's like, we've always done the same thing. And,
yep.
And now it's like thrown into the bull pit of, and again, some things work, some things don't. And things that I think are going to be really awesome, we might not get a lot of hits on. So it's like, well, throw that one out. Or it'll take, you know, a couple weeks for it to hit somebody.
Sure.
So again, I always bring it up in fishing terms because you might just have to sit there and wait for that bobber to bounce.
Yep.
And it might be a while. It's not a sprint per se. It's
correct.
A marathon.
But credit to you for, you know, if we're going to stick with the fishing analogy mm-hmm. here, you're continuing to throw your line in the water and mm-hmm. try things. And I mm-hmm. think that has been what the people that have come out of this, perhaps trailing in their sales, but advancing in their knowledge and learning. And I'm sure someone who's been in business as long as you knows that it's very few people seem to start a business and never change over the course. We've always done the same thing in the same way, and we've been super successful. You're always evolving and changing. And COVID sucked, but it forced a lot of people to learn and change the way they did the things that maybe they didn't used to do.
Sure.
And I remember when COVID first happened, I was thinking the same thing. Okay, number one, how can I help people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are they doing right now? So if someone owned a coffee shop and they can't go to their coffee shop, now they're like, okay. And I thought, you know, a lot of people are gonna be sitting in front of a computer now a lot, and they're mm-hmm. gonna be saying, well, I guess I got some extra time to check out my website. I haven't looked at that in 3 years. And
yes.
Oh, that's right. We set up that Instagram page and I don't think I've posted anything there for a month or two. Mm-hmm. So we put this guide together that was, you know, we basically like your, I think we called it like the quarantine's guide to advancing your social media. And we gave it to people for free because we're like, listen, start here. Like it's refresh your pages, make sure your information, your hours, your profile picture, all that stuff is up there. It was super like basic, mm-hmm. but it was very well received because a lot of people were like, Chris, this forced me to sit down and look at things that I haven't really had time to address because
yes.
I'm running my business all day and mm-hmm. my 16-year-old daughter's keeping my Instagram afloat. But
right?
This was good for me to sit down and figure out, is my page updated and branded? Am I reaching the right audience in the right mm-hmm. place? Do I need to start to use LinkedIn? Do I need to start to use Instagram because my audience has changed? And also just like, what are you gonna post now? Because that's a big thing I'm sure you hear a lot of. Well, I don't know what to post. I don't have a graphic designer. I don't have anything to post. And you know, we guided people and some ideas there as well. But that was a big learning experience for me too, because I realized in that moment, wow, like this is something that people needed mm-hmm. the pause to sit down and look at their marketing and look at their social media, because they probably don't have an in-house person doing
right.
this for them. So,
or haven't even thought about it.
Correct.
Really.
Because they're busy keeping their business afloat.
Yes, us too. I mean, I think that is a wonderful point to kind of look back and if there's a positive, right? So when this all started, of course, you know, the chaos and the craziness of everything, but then when you kind of get to that plateau of like, okay, this is our new jam for a little bit. Now, what can we do with this idle time? And that's really what happened, because the sales weren't coming in. I wanted to keep my girls within the, you know, in hours, you know, they can do unemployment, but it, you know, that's not what we're here for. We're here to create and help and things like that. So bringing that up is such a wonderful thing, because that's something that I said to the girls, this, we're basically starting our business all over again. And the COVID pause, I love Mel Robbins says, this is a great pause, right? So gave us the opportunity to focus and take time and do it right versus doing it on the fly. Like, throw it out there or whatever and not really care about it, where now it is so essential, because you might not have that audience that you used to have, or you're changing your audience altogether. And so it had really given us the time to, you know, literally plant those seeds, plant them right, water them, fertilize them. We know it's not going to be an instant, because things just aren't that way. Although I would love them to be that way.
Yeah, sure.
Bump those sales up really fast. You know, get that stress off our shoulders. But it gave us time to cultivate it better. And so if there is a positive that came out of it, one of them was having the opportunity to not be crazy in the business mind, you know, because we're very reactive. We just do what we do. Now we have time to settle down and really research it, you know. So my office manager, Kayla, she's wonderful. She loves to research stuff. So I'm like, hey, look up the hashtags for printing, you know, and sure, she'll come back to me and like, okay, now that, so, but I would not have the time to do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we would be so busy, we just wasn't on our priority list.
Right.
So the opportunity that COVID did give us was the pause to settle it down. And then, and in all honesty, it was things that we had on the back burner, but we just were never ever to, you know, stir it and make it happen.
Correct.
So,
yeah. You're speaking my language, because I love that. Yeah, the hashtag research and things like that, to spend that time that you had to do a little bit more digging into, mm-hmm, asking the why. So why are we posting on social media? Why, mm-hmm, are we creating videos? You know, why are we doing marketing the way we're doing? Are we even reaching the right people? Because you just kind of get an autopilot,
right?
Because you're in the trenches every day, mm-hmm, meeting the needs of your customers. And this forced us all to kind of sit back and say, okay, now I have time to actually focus on my business, my marketing, and all that stuff. So, yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like you got a great team doing
really
some of that for you.
To beef up the sales too.
Sure.
Because when your sales are good, you're not really focused on—
Right, you don't need a market.
Needing more sales.
Yes, that's just
or
it.
Or new markets, or we're like, man, we're totally fine.
Yes.
You know, but you wipe the whole summer of sales out because you were— and that was a big thing that we realized, is how reliant we were on events.
Sure.
And like you talk about Chris Seriani, you know, he does the same events every year that we can count on. And so we know in September he has Arts and Drafts. So we know in August we're going to be doing the posters and the things of that nature. And, you know, when those things aren't coming in, you realize like, whoa, we really, mm-hmm, were on, you know, a house of cards pretty much, mm-hmm, because we were relying on it. Not by any wrongness on us, but that we were so one-sided.
Yeah.
Because sales were just coming in. We were just, you know, coming in and doing our thing. Where when those are gone, you're like, whoa.
Right.
We were very fragile in,
sure,
that mind. So, and then again, after 11 years, you're like, wow, I'm starting a whole new business over,
yeah,
again. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
It is.
It wears you out.
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone's kind of tired, but, you know, like you said, it's been an exhausting experience. I'll kind of wrap things up with this question. You know, what marketing, social media, print aside, what has been one of the biggest things you have learned, even just about yourself personally, about your skills as an entrepreneur, or even just, you know, as a wife, whatever it is, mm-hmm, what is one of the biggest takeaways that maybe in 20, 30 years from now, when you look back and tell the story of coronavirus?
I can't wait for those. I can't wait for the campfire stories like 5 years
how
from
many,
now.
I kept saying, how many people's keynotes, you know, in the coming years are going to be what I learned from COVID-19?
Yeah.
But what have you learned about yourself as a business owner, as a person through all of this?
I think just, you know, and again, you know, last year with the whole cancer thing, I was so looking forward to this year of feeling better and getting back to my grind, my jam. And then the COVID hit. So it's like, okay, maybe not yet, you know. But I think for me, it's just resiliency. And not that I don't have days of tears and there's, you know, upsets, because there are. And I think you have to let that steam off, because there is going to be a buildup. There, you know, you can't run without getting a cramp. You know, I mean, you're going to have to slow down and recharge. So I think for me, it was a big eye-opener to how vulnerable we were, how I almost took advantage of how everything was just flowing along, and then you just abruptly stop. And so the resiliency that I feel that I didn't really think about or have, that when I first started my business, I was gung-ho, like, you know, working all the time and building that business, and then it got to a good point, and I was like, all right, now we're just rolling. Where when it dropped off, I was like, wow, I gotta redo this again. And 11 years later, so I realized that I was older and didn't have as much energy and really needed to refocus what I needed to do in order to keep us afloat. Because like I said, it wasn't, you know, I had money in the bank that I thought we could survive on for a certain period of time. Well, that, you know, with the sales being low, we're like, so I applied for loans and things like that. So it was just a matter of you just keep going and your resiliency, and then rely on your support staff too. So my husband was a great person, you know, cooks me awesome meals when I come home and I'm exhausted. My staff is wonderful and they're full of ideas and want to help just as much as I do. So there's so many things I could go on, obviously forever, just thanking people, but just opening your eyes up to don't stop and just keep moving forward. And it's gonna suck, I'm not gonna lie. Just cry it out, have your beers, your wine, your drinks, whatever you may do, and then get back up on the horse and go, because life is too short to just sit and let it pass you by no matter how bad it is.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree more. I think the people that come out of it like you, you know, learning from it and not being angry about it mm-hmm. are the ones that are going to succeed even personally and professionally. And it sounds like you're doing great work. You're certainly have had an interesting couple years, but I appreciate you telling us about your story and how you guys have grown. I guess if somebody is listening to this and they want to know more about how they can get in touch with you and maybe take advantage of some of the services and the way you help your customers, what is the best way for people in the online world to connect with you?
Sure. So PrescotteOwlPrinting.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm both personally and business on LinkedIn, Alice D. George or Presque Isle Printing. We just started our YouTube video. So if you want to kind of know about us, there's a couple helpful hints from your local printer videos on there. We have two more coming in October. I'm pretty excited about that. Thanks to Rob Frank and all his staff over at R. Frank Media for that. You can call us 814-833-9020. We're open right now. Our temporary COVID hours are 9 to 3. If we are doing Zoom calls and appointments, so if you are needing to come in and talk about a project, just give us a call. We'll set up an appointment. We still are having people in, but we can just have one person in at a time right now just because of the size of our shop.
Sure.
So 833-9020 or PrescotteOwlPrinting.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Alice, and keep up the good work you're doing.
It's been great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Keeping It Real with Chris Norris. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the relevant links. And don't forget, this is a production of Revox Social. We are a social media management and consulting agency helping businesses expand their reach online and successfully connect with their customers through the use of social media. We also can help with podcasting production, television video production, basically any type of content or any type of way we can help you share your story online. We are here to help. Reach out to us at revoxsocial.com. Looking forward to another episode. Stay tuned for more. Thanks again for listening.